Today's daf is daf nun. Look at that. Before you know it, yeah, we get to the end. We're up to the two dots, which are three lines up from the middle of the page. And we begin today with the next piece of the Mishnah, which is al-kizayit met v'al-kizayit netzel min ha-met. And we want now to define what is the meaning of this netzel. So it says the Gemara, what is netzel? Ezeu netzel. Basar ha-met shekarash, muhal shehirtiach. So we're talking about now actual protoplasm that has gelled. So in other words, it decayed and now is a gel. Or we have muhal, which was exuded from the body. That's a liquid that has now also gelled through hartacha. Now, some learn hartacha. The partial way of learning hartacha is the way the Mefarash over here. Hartacha doesn't mean that it was actually boiled up in a pot. Hartacha means that when something is mala retichut, it just means that it bubbles away, dehydrates. But Tosfos just learns it means actual hartacha, which is a little weird, but that's talking about the sugya later on. That we'll see where we do deal with issues of hartacha, unfortunately, have actually become halacha lemaisa questions, benogea the Nazi soaps, the reef soaps, whether it's metami ba'ol or not, according to this. So we'll get to that sugya later on. So, hechidami, what exactly are we talking about? I mean, ilei medelo yadina didehu. If the point is that we're not quite sure what this material is, so in other words, we don't know that this is flesh. Maybe some type of other liquid, which is not metame, because mashkin ayotzi min amet, whatever those mashkim are, mucusy mashkin and so on, are not metame. So if we're not certain that this is the actual body material, it's real protoplasm, so then why would it be tame if we don't know what it is? So even if it's karash, even if it gels, what's the difference if it gels or not? What's the point of a gel? I don't understand. If we're talking about that, we do know that this is decomposed matter from the actual body of the mace. So then, afagav de lo karash. So what's an afkamina? The gelling does not seem to have any real meaning. And you're using that as the definition of netzel. The point is like this. It's not that the gelling is what creates the tumor. The gelling is the simen, whether you're dealing with something tame. So bistam, if you're talking about where we don't know. We don't actually obviously have a way of determining exactly what this is. But the point is that ikarash, so then vadai mu'al. If we're talking about something that gels, that is a sign that we are dealing with decayed protoplasm. So therefore, we know that this comes from the mate. Lo karash, however, if we have a liquid that doesn't gel, so then we have no way of knowing what it is, and we cannot rely on it that it does. It should be megaleach because it's a suffix. Dilma kichovenio, maybe some type of mucus product from the maid, which is not metame. But it's not that the krisha is the source of the tumah; it's simply a siman the tumah. Boimine abaye mirava. This halacha of netzel, when we're talking about the decomposition that is still metame, is that a din in the Torah that simply defines the nature of decomposed protoplasm? So it would apply across the board. I mean, animals are made out of the same protoplasm that humans are. They may have a different din of tuma, but the equality of netzel to actual basar would apply then to a nevela as well. So as you see, you have a piece of nevela. I mean, obviously it's not going to be metame ba'ol, but it would still be metame the way that a nevela is metame, namely through maga or through masa, even though it had decayed and had gelled in this fashion. So it's like a netzel. So miyam rina. Is the point over here of the Tigamiri Netzel de Atimi Adam? It's like a local Rosh Misinai, that there is a tumat meta adam, a separate tumah besides the basar, something that's called Netzel, which that doesn't relate to the din of basar amet. And if that's the case, it wouldn't apply to a behemah. So avodatime behemah lo. It has nothing to do with tumat nevelot. Or maybe it's simply that we have a Kabbalah that the Torah considers this to be the equivalent of basar, in which case it's equivalent to basar for nevela as well. Wait a second. When you're dealing with a nevela, you have nothing in common with the dinim of the mate. Remember that a nevela has to be, we learn that from the pasuk, where we compare it to trevela, kelef tashel chunot, or we have the din by nevela itself, la gera shebish arecha. That's not just a nice suggestion. That is an actual halachic principle. That if that nevela cannot be given to a ger, why? Because it decayed. So you wouldn't need it. So then that defines the nature of the nevela itself. So then, this is a ridiculous question. I mean, something that's gotten to the point of a gel is completely inedible. So where in the world would we have a shiloh where it would be metame? And a veil would not be metame. At least according to the man the Omer who holds that lagera shebisharecha titinena is definitive. And that's called ad lager. technically speaking. In other words, it's only metamek in a vela, which is tumah chamura. Tumah chamura to be metamei odam, b'maga, b'masa, is only if it's ro'i l'achilat ger. So that if that's what you hold, so heini chalaman di'amar tumah chamura ad l'ger, then the relationship to the kelev, that's in terms of tumah kala, something that is a foodstuff. A foodstuff is considered to be a foodstuff until it's nifsal me'achilat kelev. But nevela is more than a foodstuff. Nevela is something which is matami tumah chamura. Foods are not matami tumah chamura. Adam can never become tami from a food. It's a mekabel tumah. So the gabe kabbalah's tumah foodstuff is still considered to be food ad lekelev. So it has to be roi for achilas kelev. So then shapir, then there's nothing to ask. The lashon over here of heinicha and shapir is, again, not standard lashon. We usually use heinicha where we've got a problem and then it works out well according to Maamar d'Yomar. The normal lashon in the Bavli that conveys the sense that this gemara is conveying is Ali b'adaman d'yomar lo tiboy, right? Ki tiboy Ali b'adaman. That's what we mean to say is there's nothing to ask if you hold like the man d'yomar holds ad l'ger. So, but what about according to the man d'yomar holds that even tuma chamura is ad l'kelev? So now we've got a question, and the ma'ikel ha'memer does not mean what it usually means. Dow, what are you going to do? Ma'ikel ha'memer means literally, what will you say? Okay, so this again is part of the weird lashonis that we find in Nazir and in the Dorim that the Rishonim point out are different than the way we use the Shonis in the rest of Shas. So what it would be, the halacha, according to the Mandiomer, holds that a nevela, even though not edible by human, is nonetheless metame. What would be the din of a netzel of a nevela? Is it metame, or is this din of netzel something that is dafka, applicable to humans, applicable to humans? Toshma, says the Gemara, let me bring you a raya from a brayta. Himchuhu bo'ur, tame, bechama, tohor. So here we're talking about now an oath. Now, this is a very common thing. Ashkenazim used to do this all the time. Believe it or not, they would actually take the chicken, make ribbonets from it. They'd take the chicken shuman and boil it down and reduce it to, oh, look at this. We got smiles all around the tables. The Sfardim have all run out of the room. That's okay. Gripen, yeah. Schmaltz, right. So any good Jewish home had a nice jar full of schmaltz, which was himchuhu bo'ur, except in case the liver, the chopped liver wouldn't kill you, they mixed it with this to make sure that it does you in totally. And if there's anything left of your heart, add the cholent afterwards, then you're guaranteed never to wake up. But anyway, the braita is referring to a case of an oath that is tahor, but that's an avela. So it's Safeway chicken, Safeway grilling. What about that? So there it says, it's tummy. If it's tummy, that means even though it's been boiled down, so now it's tummy, that's fine, but b'chama, tahor. If you did the same thing by leaving it out in the sun, and now in the sun it also gelled into a shuman, then it's tahor. V'isal g'dayta ad l'kelev. If you're going to tell me now, the sheer ad l'kelev, and that actually it would be a nevela. So then why in this case is it not nevela? Afilu b'chama nami. Why is it not an avela? The dog can still eat it. Must be because, indeed, there's no din of netzel by nevela. That must be the inyan. So over here, would have a halacha of a gel that is being made now, and therefore should be considered to be not nevela anymore. No, says the Gemara. That's not the point. The point is over here, if you leave something out in the sun, what do you think happens to it before it turns into himchu? It rots, obviously, and the sun doesn't boil it up on the spot. First thing that happens to it, it's only after it was nisrach b'chama. But given the israch, it's no longer roi even for a kelev. So at that point, it becomes ofer b'alma. Ofer b'alma is certainly not matam, according to anybody, by the veil, even if you hold it to b'chamura ad l'kelev. I'm not ad l'ger. So this has nothing to do, therefore, with the question as you ask. It's not. Kol ha'nitzuk tohor. Here it says now that anything which is poured, that means you have a chibur between something in one kli, you now pour it out into another kli. Let's say the bottom kli is tameh. Well, let's say there's ochlim tameim in the bottom kli. Are they pouring the nitzuk? Is that considered to be? How do you say nitzuk in English? No. The stream. Okay, so is the stream that connects the two, huh? That nitzuk considered to be a connection, in which case it's all one piece, and it becomes tameh. So it says over here, all nitzuk is considered to be tahor, because a liquid, by definition, is viewed as a molecular structure that is not one piece. That's the point of a liquid. So that the molecules can move around easily, and they take the shape of the container in which they're in. So you can't call that one piece. But in a case where you have a liquid like dvash hazipim or tzapichit, That's considered to be a solid. Chutz midvash hazipim vatzapichi. Now, what exactly dvash hazipim is a machloket elsewhere, actually, in the Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan says dvash hazipim is from the lashon of ziyuf, meaning that this dvash is so thick that people water it down. It's like, you know, the gasoline in the Delux stations. So it's zipim. So you start off with good quality honey, and now you got enough leeway there to water it down. So it's mizuyav. Tzapichit, everybody agrees, tzapichit is the lashon of tzapichit bidvash, which is where you take, most learn that means, where you take the dvash directly from the hive, it's mixed with shava, with wax, and becomes very thick, thickened. The Reish Lakish holds that bidvash hazipim is just the name of a place. Zif, and we find Zif mentioned, actually, in Tanakh. So these dvash hazipim means a very, very thick dvash. It boils down to the same idea. And there, say the Chachomim, now what they're saying is not clear. Maybe because it's so thick, that the Gemara is going to get into. But that type of nitzuk is considered to be a chibur. Beit Shammai omrim, af ha-mikpeh shel grisin v'shel pul, mipnei shehi soledet la'achoreha. Now again, this has absolutely nothing to do with our sugya so far. And the truth is, it's never going to have very much to do with our sugya. But there's a loose relationship, which we'll see we're getting to.
And we're going to see that there's only a vague connection in that ultimately. And on the base, we're going to talk about a similar situation where fats were boiled down. And because of that, actually, many have the girsi here instead of tanan hatam, which indicates right off the bat that we're just bringing in something that has a loose relationship as a parallel.
But in any event, at this point, we're talking about now, what is the halacha of things that are thickened? And Reish Shammai is saying, even if you've got a porridge that's made out of split peas or chopped up pea or of whole pea, shelpul, grisin also means pul, grisin is grisin shelpul. So there, that's also considered to be the equivalent of a nitzuk chibur. Why? Mipnei shehi soledet la'achoreha. Because it has a mucousy connection, like a dough, so that if you stop pouring, you'll actually pull back some of the material. If you pull back some of the material with you, so that tension is considered to be sufficient to hold things in place. It's viewed like a solid. Now, it's not clear whether that was the Rabbanan Sfora as well, and the Rabbanan are just arguing about whether a grisin is sufficiently riri, or whether the Rabbanan are actually talking about something else, and that's a measure of thickness, and the grisin is not thick. To be seen. So now, in any event, boy, Rami Bar Chama, yesh nitzuk lo ochlin, or any tzuk lo ochlin. Now the question is, what about foodstuffs that you have turned into now the equivalent of something pourable, which is what we've been talking about. You take the shuman, you melt it down. What would be the halacha over there? That's our question. So yesh nitzuk lochlin o ein nitzuk lochlin. Mi amrina mishum di it bu ririn vani let bu ririn. O dele mishum di smichinu. Vacha smichin. My question is I'll leave it to Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are saying that the dvash is considered to be a solid. Why? Is it because it's connected to each other with that mucousy-like connection that will pull it back into a container? Or is it the thickness that we're concerned about? If we're concerned about thickness, we could certainly make shuman that is that thick, like the zipin. However, it's not riri. It doesn't have any pieces that would be similar to the rear of a dough that could pull something back. So that's my question.
But isn't one a function of the other?
No. You can have things that are thick, but that don't have it.
They don't have that tension?
Yeah, the rear is a surface tension base. It's an attraction of molecules, which has nothing to do with the thickness of the material. So now, here's where it begins to relate to our sugya. Omar Rava Tashma, Chelev Hamet Shehu Shalem V'Yiticho Tameh. So where you have now, and this is where we, interestingly enough, there were modern shilas that were built around this Gemara because of the Nazis. There were an actual case that was a center of vice for a psak on this issue, where someone had been matzil from the crematorium. He had been matzil afer and had brought it with him and buried it in the chotzer of Beit HaKnesset back at home, and had also found some of this rife soap, which many said was made out of human remains by the Nazis. And he wrote a shiloh, wondering whether the Kohanim were allowed to come into the chotzer of Beit HaKnesset because he had buried it there. But Mamash Halacha L'Maisa. So Revice built... The part about the Afer was not a problem, because once a mace has been burned, it's not matami. Afer is not matami. But what about the problem of the soap? So over there, he brought in the shaila of this Gemara now that we're about to see, although he also included in the shaila the fact that it's far from clear that there really is soap from human remains. I mean, you know, that's a big question, whether that's really true or not, and nobody ever really has absolute, has analyzed it to make sure that that's the case. But in any event, the Gemara over here says that according to Rava, if you take actual fats from a corpse, And it was sholem. When we say it was sholem, we mean you had a full kizayit of the mate in that shuman. And then you boiled it down. So then it's tameh. But hayam furad v'hiticho tahor. If initially there wasn't a kizayit b'makom echad, and now through your boiling it became now, it gelled into one piece. So then that's not considered to be a shear of a kizayit, because a chibur that comes synthetically, so then Adam had to boil, that's not considered to be a chibur b'chlal. So you don't have a kizayit b'makom echad, and therefore it's not going to be mitame. So obviously included this in the question, even where you've got the soap, the question is whether you ever had a kizayit b'makom echad. It's also a suffix, even if it is made from an Adam. So now my question is, says Rava, my proof is from here, that Yisak daitach ein nitzuk lo'ochlim, shalem v'iticho nami l'taher. You see, the point of saying ein nitzuk is that what you're going to say is that when you have ochlim that have been reduced to liquids, then the liquid state is no longer mechubar as a solid would be, correct? So now let's say I take this shuman. It's a very interesting point. It's a beautiful point that Rava's making. I take the shuman and I heat it. Once I heat it, it begins to liquefy. The moment that it liquefies, obviously there's going to be a molecule that's no longer in its initial position. If it's not in its initial position, and in this state it's a liquid, then even when it re-solidifies into a solid, if it was not considered to be mechubar as a liquid and there's no nitzuk, it should never be metame. You see? Because in the same way that separate pieces of shuman that have been synthetically connected through heating is not metame, once this shuman began to separate as a liquid, it's as if it was cut up, because you hold a nitzuk. So now even when you put it back together, you're putting it back together synthetically, and you no longer have shuman b'makom. It's a brilliant insight that the nitzuk boils down to an analysis of the state of the liquid, right? So even though nothing was ever poured, l'maisa, there'd be no way to ever have shuman that was boiled. If you hold a nitzuk, that should still be metame. Behechrech, says Rava, it must be that nitzuk is considered to be a chibur by ochlin. That's absolutely brilliant thinking. No? Get a kick out of that, guys. What's with you? You know, in the same way, there's no prurience in the Torah, no matter what the subject matter is. There's nothing ugly in the Torah, no matter what the subject matter is. It's all part of life. Death is part of life. So, okay, we're now pleasant. But the svara remains the same pure svara, whether you're talking about ugly products of reproduction or ugly products of death. Right? It's exactly the same joy in the svara. It makes no difference what the particular mechanical matrices are. That's the beauty of Torah, is that it's removed completely from the simple experience of the ugly physicality. It becomes a joy. That's its healthiness. That's its wholesomeness. That's its beauty. What's with you guys? I'm telling you, we're going to have to bring a stretcher in here and carry me out one of these days. I mean, this is just killing me. Here we go again. My card. Leitz chasek ben. That's the beautiful part. It fits into the nitzuk by recognizing that nitzuk doesn't necessarily mean flow through a stream. Right. Nitzuk is an analysis of the interrelationships of molecules in a liquid. Okay. That's the real point. So even once you've got something in liquid form, then what you're saying is that a molecule is no longer in its position. So now even when it refreezes, it's a synthetic shuman now. Because you already had the molecules separated. Okay. So they're no longer in their place. So now, even though now it's all in its place, but it was not mechubar at one point. If it's not mechubar, we said a synthetic chibur that comes afterwards is not considered to be a chibur. So there'd be no way to ever make shuman tameh. Because even if you started with kizayit, the moment that you liquefy it, you've moved around the molecules, and they're no longer connected. So now it's mefurat. So it's like taking little pieces of shuman, but that's brilliant, right? There is a question about in oil, where the oil is mitzaref. Which is a different issue that Tosfos talks about. If we ignore that problem of separate pieces being an oil, so it's as if you're touching it all at one time, then you wouldn't be able to have some single piece of shuman. So therefore, I've got a raya, says Rava. What are you going to do with my brilliant raya? Huh? 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 Amr Bizera, I'll tell you. I know, my Breda Ravina, we figured out why your case is not 100% right. Because Targimna, we explained that the case that we're talking about is, you know, an unusual case. Solik amuda, this word of nura does not make sense. Somebody threw it in there because they're used to thinking about amuda de nura. Solik amuda lapumi de mona vikorash. What we are talking about is what we would call flash freezing. So in other words, what happened over here is that this chalav was put into a container and it heated. but it heated in such a way that it created a bubble of energy underneath it. Suddenly, the entire thing, as once, because of the built-up pressure from underneath, was zapped up to the top of the kli where it instantly cooled. So lemaisa, it never was liquefied in a normal sense because it was being now also subject to the pressure, and then it flash froze in place. So since it flash froze in place, it's not considered to be a raya for a case of nitzuk. That's why we're talking about amuda. Once it would have fallen back down, then it already would have meant that it was melted. Okay, so maybe that's the case that we're talking about, but since we can come up with a case, and the Mishnah would have to address that case, you can't tell me that necessarily it's got to mean that nitzuk of ochel would be sufficient. Okay, I got a case. Toshma. Beit Shammai Omri. Afa mikveh shel grisin v'shel pul. Mipnei shem soldim la'achoreihem. Now, soldim la'achoreihem implies that that is the sole criterion for this issue. You'll say, so why did the Rabbanon argue with the... They hold that it's just not enough soldim. It's a question of degree. The Chachamim hold that's not, it's not strong enough rearing, not insufficient number of rearing. Mashenka Beit Shammai holds we extended then even to greets from Shopol. Where do you get that from? Midi, Iri, but somebody, that proves something. How do you know that the Chachomim hold Bechalal of rearing? Maybe the swear of the Chachomim is Hata Mishum Desmichim. Maybe the Dvash of the Zipim and the Tzapichit is because of the thickness of the material, not because of the rearing. In which case, it's irrelevant to the whole discussion over here. And it could well be that a thick Ochlin would be the equivalent. Not because of rearing. Who's to say that has something to do with rearing? In which case, if there's no rearing, it's irrelevant. That's not true. The next case that we had was in the Mishnah, was Al Milot Tarvad Rakav. Now, Tarvad is a very strange measurement because a Tarvad simply means a shovel, which is used for picking up in the base. So maybe we had Tarvad for the various ingredients. Benochas, Kteres, Tarvad. You can use the same idea for a dust shovel. I mean, what's the shear of a Tarvad, Bichla? Kamashiuro, Chizki Omar, a Tarvad is the equivalent shear of Bamelo Pisat Hayad. Now, the Pisat Hayad, it's amazing because the Tzapichit, which occurs on this, which actually... I neglected to mention in the Oruch learns that the meaning of tzapichit is not the tzapichit of the actual honeycomb, but rather what we call teglach dough, where you take the dough, you mix it in oil, so it becomes this thick, and then you pour it into oil. I mean, but the tzapichit, and this relates back to the man, tamok tzapichit advash, right? But there's also the drosha of pisat, that it melts, of pisat ayad. The same sugya that brings tzapichit and pisat is very weird. But anyway, so Rabbi, the shear over here, what is a pisat ayad? You open up your palm, ignore the fingers, and see what you can fit into your palm up to the point that the fingers extend beyond the palm. It's not very much. So that's a small shear. That amount of rakav is metami, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's melochof nav. Now, there's a machlokas whether this melochof nav means the entire hand or means what it means, melochof nav by the Kohen, that it means you have to take two hands and fill your two hands. But it certainly includes the etzpaot by definition, because that's a chofen. Chofen is you stick in your hand with your fingers extended, and you bring it out. Melochof nav is you put your two hands in on either side and pull up the for the ketoret. Okay, so it's Malochav, which is much larger. The Rambam learns it means two hands. Tanan. Now, here's what I meant when I said this is an interesting word, Tanan. There is no such Mishnah. So often we change the word, no, it's a mistake. Tanan actually should say Tanya. Because, I mean, what do we do with the Tanan? However, there's a very interesting Taisus in Kulin. Taisus says that there are places where the Gemara will use Tanan for a Braita. Is that just random? So the Achronim explain, and this is a beautiful example. There are braitot that speak as if they exist in a vacuum, without a Mishnah. There are braitot that refer directly back to a Mishnah. A braitot that refers directly back to a Mishnah is viewed as an actual insight into what the Mishnah is saying. And therefore, when we have a braitot like that, we can refer to it as not. Here, the braitot is clearly talking about the Mishnah, because it says here, Melo tarvad rakav she'amru. Where were they, amru? That melot tarvad that appears in the Mishnah, yeshnan, that shear appears, mi'ikar etzpa'ot ulamala, divrei Rabbi Meir, which sounds like, a guy is holding his hand in front of him, his etzpa'ot are pointing upwards, right? Now he's going to put his etzpa'ot into the material, and however much he can collect on his etzpa'ot, not using his palm, It's like the opposite of pisat hayad. That's the shear of the malorak. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. And the Chachomim say in the bright of Malochof Nav. Okay, so now, Rabbi Yochanan is clearly saying exactly what the Rabbanan said. Malochof Nav. So basically, Rabbi Yochanan Dama Karabbanan. But where does Chizkiah come off saying a whole new shear, which is not like Rabbi Meir and not like the Rabbanan? Where do you get that from? He can't argue on the Shitot in the Mishnah, in this case in the Braita. So says Gemara, well, what's the big deal? You're assuming that those are two different issues. Maybe the point that Chizkiah is making is that the shear of the Tarvad is found to be exactly the same whether you measure from the base of the finger to the top, how much you can collect in your finger, or whether you measure what you can collect in the palm without the fingers. Maybe it's one shear. Maybe that's the point. He's just telling you there's a different way to measure it. So perhaps Amre, Melopi Satayad, Umloki Shreds Botav Lamalach, Hachiyuru, maybe that's all one shear, you know? Omele Rav Shimi Barada, I don't understand you guys. You're making a big fuss about something that is built on an assumption that is not even a good assumption. Because when you're talking about, remember, consistently, throughout the Gemara, whenever we talk about Lamala, we mean Lamala towards the body. When we use Lamata, we mean from that point down towards the ground. It doesn't matter whether that part of your body is facing upwards, downwards, and so on, because that's a ridiculous way to measure things. So lamala doesn't mean, what do you think it's talking about over here, from the base of your fingers up to the top of your fingers? I mean, you're going to say the same thing about orla. The orla, if you leave orla, lamata. That means towards your body, lamata. It means towards the ground, lamata. So when you're talking about lamala, it means the same thing. Measure from the base of your fingers towards your body, which is exactly what Chizkiah was saying, pisat ayad. But you have this prejudice that it means from the base to the tip of your finger. It doesn't mean to the tip of your finger. It means to the top of your hand. And that's what Chizkiah was saying. Means l'roshe etzbo'otav. It means the other direction, towards the body. In which case, it was exactly the same as melopisata yad. Now, this word teku is weird. Because what do you mean, teku? We weren't in the middle of a question, were we? So Tosfos takes out the teku. The Gra takes out the teku. There are some Rishonim who say, you see, teku never means it's a question. Teku means let it stand. So that's what it means over here. You know, that's such a good explanation. Just let it stand and heck with all those. We were just torturing ourselves for no reason. He must be right. Which is a very unusual use of the Lashon of teku. But very interesting. A lot of strange things in those.
The
Rabbeinu Peretz says that. The Rabbeinu Peretz says, look, the first Teretz left open the question whether Malot Pisat Hayad is the same as Kishrei Etzbo'otav. So we're saying, now Teku is okay. That question is left open because we don't see from here. That's a third possibility. Wait a minute. Don't run yet. Okay. Hakazayit made Vakazayit Netzel. Vezel Netzel. Basara made Shekarash. Umuel Shiratia. It's not that it's a din in Korash. We're talking about Bistam. Now we don't know. Korash defines for us the reality. E Korash, so then it is Muhal. But if it's a low Korash, then it could be some liquid that is not Matam. I mean, is this an idea, Miyamrinan, that Gemirin Netzel, special aloch of Tumah Dati Miyadam, Avodati Bebeima lo, or is it just a definition of what Basar is, or Diomaloshna? Sahini Chalaman Yomatuma Chamura Adagir, Vituma Kala Adakelev. So then we know the answer, Shapir, because it certainly is not going to be Roy Laguerre. Elman Yomar Tuma Chamura Ad Lekela. What would be the din? Ma'ik Elamemar. Toshma Imchuhu Be'ur Tamei Bechamat Tohor. Ve'yisag Taitach Ad Lekela Vafilu Bechamat Nami. No, says the Gemara, doesn't prove a darn thing. Eimat Memachile, but the Asurach Bechama. Obviously, once it was already Saruach, so then, Havi Le Afar, we're talking about a case where something is artificially cooked up. Fine, if it's artificially cooked up, it doesn't rot. To leave it in the sun, forget about it. It's not. Kola Nitzok Tohor, Chutz Midvash Azipim Vahatzapichit, and Beit Shammai Omrim, Afa Mikpa Shogrisin Mishal Pol, Vipteshi Soledet Lachoreha. So, boy, Romi Bar Chava, Yesh Nitzok Lo Ochlim, Oh, any tzuk lochli. Mi amrinan mishum de it puriri v'ani let puriri. Odilo mishum de smichimu v'acha smichim. Omar Rava Toshma, chelev ha-mechu hu shalem. V'yiticho tamei. Hayam afurad v'yiticho tohor. V'yisakta edach eni tzuk lochli. Shalem v'yiticho nami li taher. Omre Bizer, it's a special case. Anu marbred ravina targimna, that it might be talking about a case. I mean, orma iskinon, kegon de bahadi, the mirtachle, solika muda de nur la pumidamona, and then it was korash instantly in that spot. So over there, ite kule gabe hadodi, and nothing has moved. Omre ravina ravashi, tashma, beit shamay omrim, afa mikpeshal grisim vishopo, mipne shein soldin liachorehem. So you see that the only point that we need to look at is if something is so laid, liachoreihem, which I assume is the same idea of the Tanakama. It's just the Tanakama requires more silud. But in any event, an ochlin that has been turned into a liquid without rearin is certainly not going to be metami. So, well, who says midi aire? Hata mishum desmichin, hata mishum riri. Vamalot tarvad rakav, vekamish yiroch, iskam amalot psatayad, Rabbi Yochanan amar melo chofna. It's not. Lo tarvad rakav sha'amru, yeshnan mi'ikar etzba'ot v'lamala, divrei Rabbi Meir. Chachamim amrim, maloch ofnav. So Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan, okay, he's saying exactly what the Rabbanan said. But Chizkiah is not going to anybody. Come on, look Rabbi Meir, v'loch Rabbanan. Amre, maybe maloch pisatayad, maloch kishri etzba'otav, meaning going up to the top of the etzba'ot, lamala, is all one shiur. Omlet of Shimu Ba'adol of Papa, and maybe there ain't no such thing as Kishri Etzbotav Lamala. Maybe the right way to read it is, Bimaidai Mikishri Etzbotav Lamala means Lamala La Roshe Etzbotav, Dilma Lamate Midide, Davila Melopisatayat, precisely, which is what he said.